Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents
Payne and Pendergast,
presented by Allied Home Security.
All right, into the 7 o'clock hour we go. It appears, according to the text page, you can text the show, 713-572-4610. The one thing Patrick Beverley was successful at yesterday was potentially getting his TV career off of the ground. He created a lot of reaction. Text message 361-944 says, Patrick Beverley's just a heel and thinks he's the entire foot. That's funny.
That's what Pat. I think Beverly is doing a good job of he's going to relay the reputation he's built up for himself in the NBA and take it into the rest of the sports or
yes.
sports media, which he's going to be. He's going to be a lot like Steve Smith, I think, who like not the same level of player that Steve Smith, the receiver, was in the NFL, but still a guy that's got a reputation and is going to keep bringing it in the exact same fashion when
yes,
he gets to the NBA.
Which would be really smart. He'll make a lot of money doing that.
Excuse me, when he gets into the media.
Yep, yep. Absolutely. So yesterday on Twitter, Josina Anderson, right after our show ended, tweeted a couple of things about Deshaun Watson. The first one was this. I'm told Deshaun Watson is treating the offense to the Bahamas this weekend. The trip is for team building and football chemistry as Watson has secured a field there to continue offseason workouts. Okay. That's nice of Deshaun to treat everybody to a trip to the Bahamas. That's a nice little nugget from Josina Anderson.
It was also reported, by the way, that Baker Mayfield will not be attending.
Yeah. Even though he's technically part of the Browns offense, he will not be there. So Deshaun is bringing a bunch of his teammates to the Bahamas. Cool little nugget from Josina Anderson.
That's expensive.
Hadn't seen that anywhere else. Yeah, especially if they're staying like at the Atlantis or something like that. Absolutely.
I bet he chartered a jet, like a big
jet. Yeah. Well, $230 million guaranteed, baby. There was a follow-up tweet. Josina Anderson says, I'm also told that NFL officials, this is me adding the sarcastic tone, I'm also told NFL officials are currently scheduled to meet with Deshaun Watson in Texas this week, per league sources. Oh, thanks for that, Josina. By the way, this whole investigation that's been going on with Deshaun and a big part of the reason he hasn't played in a year and all that, that could be coming to an end. I'm just going to point out this, Seth, because as you brought up earlier, we don't know what's going to happen with this whole thing, and the legal side is ongoing. Will continue to probably be ongoing as the season is beginning here. Normally in these investigations, when the NFL is sitting down with the subject of the investigation, in this case, Deshaun Watson, typically that is at the end of the process after they've gathered a bunch of information from the people who are either witnesses or who've been accused, who've accused, in this case, Deshaun of doing things. They met with a bunch of those folks. And now they're sitting down with Deshaun. Normally, this happens at the end of a process. So it begs the question, one, is this the end of the process with Deshaun? And two, if it is, does this mean we might get some clarity on a punishment imminently here for Deshaun?
Yeah, and I guess the other thing, too, would be that the NFL might find out whatever they find in their investigation, and maybe they decide to punish him for that. And as you pointed out, Mike Florio pointed out that, hey, there is a possibility that maybe Deshaun Watson gets punished this year. And then if something else comes out in the civil suit trials, that he ends up getting punished again somewhere on down the line. And I would say, as a Texans fan, even if you love Deshaun Watson still, we have Cleveland's draft picks.
Yeah.
You do want Deshaun and the Browns to be as bad as possible over the next few years, because that means those draft picks end up being much, much better. So even if you think Deshaun's being railroaded or what have you, is from a pure football standpoint, the more suspensions, the better for the Houston Texans.
Can you even imagine a scenario where Deshaun misses parts of two seasons because of multiple suspensions? that would be purely from a pragmatic draft capital standpoint, that would be glorious.
Yeah.
To say nothing of any personal animus or anything like that, it would be glorious. So this is not me hating or anything. This is me being a Texan fan, wanting the Texans to have as high a draft pick as possible. That's all.
They are in a pickle there with this Baker Mayfield situation, where they find themselves having like one really good quarterback on the roster, and another one that I think a lot of people still don't know exactly what Baker Mayfield's upside is, but they feel like his personality is such that they don't feel like having him around. He's almost like a weird version of Tim Tebow, where he has worth as like something to keep around, either as a backup or maybe a guy that has more good football in him as a starter, but the distraction just isn't worth it.
Yeah.
Obviously it was for different reasons with Tim Tebow than it was for Baker Mayfield. Yep. And still that's where they are. You asked me earlier whether if Deshaun got suspended hypothetically for half the season, should they just play Baker Mayfield? My gut answer would say yes. But the question just is, okay, what's Baker Mayfield going to do with that? Is he going to be such a pain in the butt about it and cry woe is me to the media nonstop and be a distraction in the locker room? Or is he going to like accept the challenge and say, okay, I know what this is. I'm going to try to ball out and either get traded or maybe create another quarterback controversy.
Yeah. But it would be a real chance for him to shine, both football-wise and like teammate-wise, like to be able to kind of bury his ego, go out, play well in a contract year, by the way. Like this might... Honestly, Seth, like his path, his best path to getting that big deal that he wants might be to show that he can put the ego down, go in and ball out for 8 games, and then casually step back and let Deshaun take that team over without being a pain in the ass. Some team might invest big money in Baker Mayfield in the offseason. If he were to do that, he might have a better chance of getting the big money contract doing that than going and starting for a crappy team like Seattle this year.
Right, yeah, he actually might have a chance. His best chance for success realistically might be if Deshaun gets punished for half the season.
Yes.
Yeah. And if he can do that. I also, because I've heard this a couple times now, that, okay, teams are just kind of, they're iffy about Baker as a backup because of his personality type and everything. That's why I always have to remind myself that, look, you know who would be an awful awful backup quarterback? Pretty much every great quarterback. Like it shouldn't be a flat out bad character sign that you don't have the attitude to be a backup quarterback. Some guys are built for and some guys aren't. Remember the stories about Tom Brady before he was a starter when he was a rookie? He used to talk smack about how he was going to take Drew Bledsoe's job and stuff.
He was
like,
right.
He sounded kind of, I know, but he sounded like kind of a petty little, backstabber.
Remember a six-round pick?
Yeah, but I think your first instinct is to say, like, hey, bide your time, be a good soldier and do all this, where he wasn't like that at all. And I think that's how Baker Mayfield is a little bit, but you got to be good enough to, you got to create that environment where you're allowed to be like that.
Was Quincy Avery tweeting about me yesterday?
He did. Well, he was responding here. Can you see it?
Yeah. I'm looking. Yeah. I just saw it. I can't see it on Twitter. So I thank you for sending the screen grab to me a moment
yesterday ago. We had talked about how Quincy Avery, quarterback's coach, Deshaun Watson, Malik Willis, and others had blocked you on Twitter.
Yeah.
And we couldn't figure out why. So we went through it. And Tyler was so impressed by the quality of that segment that he put it on the best of the day.
Tyler Milner,
So on
put
the
it
best
on the
of,
best of with a picture of Quincy Avery and Deshaun Watson and me and you.
So there's so he had tweeted out for the best of today, why did quarterback coach Quincy Avery block Sean Pendergast? Why in the world would he? And Quincy Avery saw this, quote tweeted it and said, LOL, today must be a quiet day in sports radio. To which I would reply, yes.
Yes,
you're exactly 100%
100%
correct.
Was.
I plead guilty. I replied to him and said I had to take a screenshot of this for Sean. Since you're blocked, you're not allowed to see this.
Oh, that's great. That is great.
we'll see if he plays along. Because it's still a slow day in sports radio.
It is. I tried to go through. You did a really good job of pulling together the tweets that might have set him over the edge and blocked me. I narrowed it down to like two or three that I think for sure might have been the ones. I do agree with you. It was probably the barrage of tweets during the press conference. Because if you recall, the trade got consummated on March 18th. The press conference wasn't until a week later. So yeah. The press conference wasn't until March 25th. And I was kind of a jerk during the
press
conference.
You were in snark mode.
You were being kind of
snarky, yeah. And I felt like for you it was almost an emotional release. Were you like it was finally over?
Yeah.
How long did the whole ordeal end up being? 15 months?
Yeah.
It was a long time,
it was a long
damn it.
Time, yeah.
So a lot of people were just using that as like a cathartic moment, and that was you. So I bet Quincy saw all that and said, all right, I don't need this.
I don't need it. Yeah, yeah. No, which is smart. I would have blocked me too if I were Quincy Avery. I don't begrudge him for blocking me. I don't regret anything that I tweeted here. I'm not going to go back and delete any of it or anything like that. But I was in big time snark mode that day. Yes.
You know what happened to me? I can't even remember what I did, but I did it on the advice of somebody else. I changed my filters a little bit to where now Twitter apparently does a pretty good job of filtering out a lot of the people that are most vitriolic, like towards you personally, like me. So for the life of me, I can't remember. I kind of did it as an afterthought as somebody was trying to tell me how to do it. And then a few months later, I was like, oh, you know what? Twitter seems more pleasant lately. But now I can notice and see that sometimes it'll show that I'm getting like, I might have 20 replies to one of my tweets, but I can only see like 15 of them. So I'm guessing that the five that I can't see are like people that are being particularly nasty to me, but I'm none the wiser for it.
Yeah.
I can't see or tell who it is. But
do you recall how you did that?
It was something like on the safety or security or something. Like there's a certain filter you can do to filter out some of the most brazenly aggressive people. But what it doesn't do is if somebody's going after one of your friends, and this happens a lot. I'll see this with sports media people where they'll say like, oh, I've never even criticized this one player. Why would he block me?
Yeah.
I'm basically a saint. Well, like, oh, I don't know. You've attacked his teammate for like six straight weeks on Twitter. At some point, you're like, well, hey, this is my buddy. I don't feel like watching this.
Absolutely.
So they block.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So what you're saying in solidarity, you're going to block Quincy Avery right now because you and I are buddies. You're going to block Quincy Avery? Is that what I'm hearing?
I don't know. I don't want to. Probably not.
I had to send Sean a screen grab of this tweet.
I don't block hardly anybody. The only thing that really gets somebody blocked is if they use like racial slurs or something like really, really bad. But for the most part, you can call me whatever you want. And I either A, won't see it, or B, I just mute it or just kind of try to keep it.
Your Twitter feed is going
to
be a mess now. You can say whatever you want. Oh, here we go. Here it comes.
No,
it's not open season. It's not open season on Seth right now on Twitter, all right? Nick Caserio said the only reason he likes the schedule release is because you can start scouting the first three opponents. We're going to do Nick Caserio a service and help scout the Texans' first three opponents next.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you. On a Tuesday, 713-572-4610. Here was Nick Caserio talking about the schedule release last week.
Whoever we play. I think the big thing will be, the first three games. We'll do some work in the offseason in terms of our advanced scouting reports, kind of some offseason work. We can kind of see the composition of the team, how we're going to see it. So I think the pro scouting staff will spend some time looking at the first three opponents, trying to get ahead of that a little bit. And then we come back into training camp. It's a matter of cleanup and just kind of tracking and following those teams. So, I mean, honestly, I'm probably not going to lose much sleep over the schedule. I mean, I probably won't even watch it. So whoever we play, we play. We'll find out about it the next day. We'll come in and just we'll be in rookie mini camp. So that will be the focus.
All right. So Nick Caserio, not a big fan of the schedule release, but Seth, he does get to scout their first three opponents.
Yeah, that makes sense.
They found out who the first three opponents are. Indianapolis at home, Denver on the road, Chicago on the road. So I figured that between you and me, we could do Nick Caserio a service and start in on the scouting reports for these teams as of right now, May 17th, is it? 2022?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Nick found out that the first opponent was the Indianapolis Colts.
That's right.
And he said, all right, Jimbo. He's got somebody on his staff named Jimbo. Mm-hmm. Tell me what you know about these Indianapolis Colts.
Right.
And Jimbo pulled out a dossier, and he said, turns out they've got a new quarterback. Did you even know?
His name is
Matt Ryan.
Did you
know they've got a new quarterback?
Yeah.
And yet he's an old quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So But he's a former MVP. This is what the Colts have been doing these last couple of years.
Yes.
Whether it's a Phillip Rivers, a Matt Ryan, whomever it might be. Let's see if we can get the absolute last little smidgen of juice out of this squeezed orange.
That's right.
That's what we're going to try to do. We're going to try to squeeze Matt Ryan for a little bit of juice, maybe a few spurts of juice.
He is going to attempt, Matt Ryan is, to come to NRG Stadium in week one, Seth, and do something that he has never done before.
He's never beat the Texans?
He's never.
What a punk.
No, he's beat the Texans, but he's never beat
pretty badly once, if I recall.
In 2015, he blew him out. Yeah, but that was in Atlanta. He's never won a game at NRG Stadium. In 2011, he lost to Atlanta native rookie TJ Yates in TJ Yates' first start. In 2017, he blew a 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl at NRG Stadium.
I vaguely remember that game.
Yes. Yeah, who was on the other side of that one? One Nicholas Caserio.
That's the story of that game. Was when Caserio,
that was
Caserio rallied the troops at halftime and said, hey, everybody, don't let go of the rope. We've got these guys where we want them.
That was the matchup everybody was talking about, Ryan versus Caserio. And then in 2019, the Falcons lost 53-32 to Atlanta native Deshaun Watson in week five. So I will point out that in the regular season games at NRG Stadium against the Houston Texans, lost to Atlanta native TJ Yates, lost to Atlanta area native Deshaun Watson. Where is Davis Mills from, Seth? He is from the state of Georgia. So it's going to be 0-3, baby. So Matt Ryan, 0-3 lifetime at NRG Stadium. And I will also point out, did you see this Jim Irsay act from over the weekend?
I'm still trying to figure this out. So, Jim Irsay, who seems to, these last couple of years, all of a sudden gotten very urgent about winning. Like, he seems like he's a little bit more cutthroat.
Yeah.
All these reports of him being angry after the disappointing playoff run and all of this at the end of last season. Still apparently knows how to have a good time.
Yeah.
This is Jim Irsay on an airplane looking... It looks like he's sitting on a fancy airplane toilet.
Right.
Like his private jet.
Right.
How else do you want to set this up?
He's shooting this into a mirror, okay? So he's got his iPhone.
With his phone.
Shooting it
in his lap, pointed at a mirror.
He's just sitting in a sport coat and a dress shirt, pointing at it, and he just starts busting out in song, and it's not good.
Well, what have you seen, my blue-eyed son? And what have you seen, my darling young one? I've seen newborn babies with wild wolves all around them. I've seen a highway of diamonds with nobody on it. I saw a black branch with blood that kept dripping.
Okay.
I saw gunshots and swords in the hands of young children. And it's a hard And it's hard. And
it's hard.
It's a hard rain.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Yeah, it was...
Hard Rain's Gonna Fall by Bob Dylan is what
I don't know why. Maybe I was just looking at my phone. I saw a lot of people say that when they first saw the video, they thought he was sitting on a toilet, and they were relieved to find that he was not.
Yeah.
Can you tell that he's definitely not sitting
on
a toilet?
Well, he's got his pants up. Like, he's not... He's,
what is draped around his waist? Does he have, like, an afghan over his lap or something?
Maybe. I'm not going to say definitively it's not a toilet. I don't think that certainly sitting on the toilet would make it a more bizarre video. Even if he's just sitting in a chair, it's a bizarre thing to do, just start busting out in Bob Dylan and posting it for no reason with no caption, nothing. Yeah.
Well, and a lot of people thought that it was some kind of a statement based on the horrific Buffalo shooting, but it was this was before that shooting occurred, so it wasn't even like I think. It's a weird thing for somebody who's got a history of having some issues to tweet out at 8 in the morning, where it seems exactly the kind of stuff that I do when I'm drunk off my ass.
Yes.
If you could go through the various, back when I used to drink a lot, various tweets that were deleted, by at like 5 in the morning. There was a whole lot of that from 2 in the morning.
These are all the things that brandy stops me from doing when I'm drinking.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah, it's that's the leader. That's the fearless leader of that team. The one guy that the one thing that I'm curious about, or I guess I'm intrigued about, is if their draft pick, Alec Pierce, the wide receiver out of Cincinnati.
Yeah. He's a volleyball guy.
He's a volleyball guy?
He played volleyball, yeah. Alec Pierce did, yeah.
If he gets matched up versus our young first rounder.
Ooh, yes.
That'll be a nice little matchup there.
That'll be
tasty. If Stingley's all ready to go and starting in week one.
Yep.
With all due apologies to Nick Caserio, I expect Stingley to be starting week one.
I hope so, too.
Yeah.
On to the next opponent, the Denver Broncos. And this is all we need to tell you about the Denver Broncos. Let's remind everybody that they have Russell Wilson as their quarterback. He's the biggest cornball in the NFL, so much so that he bought his wife a puppy. And this is what they named the puppy.
Got a puppy.
If you give him one chance, he'll be
her name is Bronco.
Bronco.
Say hi, Bronco. Okay. Say hi, guys. That's a cute girl.
It's a cute.
Thank you.
Her name
what was that?
Is Bronco. They named their puppy Bronco. Russell Wilson and Sierra. That's my scouting report on them. Is that they name their puppy Bronco. They're cheesy as hell. They're the worst. Russell Wilson and Sierra. I can't stand them. And she's on the cover of the SI swimsuit issue now. I don't know if you saw that yesterday.
Is?
Yes, she announced
there's
it yesterday.
There's multiple covers to the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue then, though, because I know there's a plus-size woman on one of them. And that was
Kimberly Kardashian is on the cover of one of them this time around.
How many covers are there for the Sports Illustrated?
I don't know. It's a good question.
It used to mean something. It used to be one of the highest honors you could earn in sports.
Now they're just handing it out to anybody. You walk by, you get to be on the cover, and
you want to be on our 417th version of the cover of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit model.
Yep. So that's my scouting report on Denver, is that Russell Wilson is a cornball, and their number one wide receiver, Jerry Jeudy, was recently arrested for a domestic incident.
It's the AFC West is rapidly turning into a cauldron of civil disobedience. Well, it's not civil disobedience. It's just flat out disobedience.
Right.
Just flat out people getting arrested for bad stuff, bro.
Yeah.
Bad stuff, man.
Yep.
It's kind of a mess out there.
Vegas and Denver and Kansas City.
It's the only
City
hope the NFL really has to rescue us from the stockpiling of talent.
That's right.
We got to hope that somehow that they all – it just becomes one of those hot spots where it starts to snowball because there's so much crime that
swaths of teams getting suspended. That would be great.
Yeah.
Text message 346, Sierra can call me Bronco. She is very attractive. That is true.
Yeah, nobody wants to drag Sierra into that. I think everybody just kind of wonders, like, why'd you choose this life with this fella?
It's a good question. 682-320. Why do they whisper in every video? God, I hate the two of them.
That's okay. Good. I'm glad. You know what? I'm glad that guy pointed something out. Yeah. I think there is.
There we go.
That's where it goes with Russell. I think that guy hit the nail on the head, and it never occurred to me before. That's where. it feels a bit phony. It's like where almost Russell, you can see where he's studied YouTube videos on how to seem genuine, mm-hmm. and maybe kind of whispering and speaking intimately is how you do it. But that's also the same voice people use to get you into the van. And it's creepy as all get out. That's what it is. It's the whispering. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, listener.
There it is.
Don't be careful whispering into videos. Either that or it's like that thing they do now where you people whisper into what's that called? Do you know what I'm talking about,
no,
Sean?
No, no idea.
It creates a certain sensory. I'm going to send you a link during the break.
Okay.
You either respond to it or you don't.
Gotcha.
And some people really like it, but the people that don't like it, it just feels like people are being creepy.
Nails on the chalkboard, yeah.
Yeah.
But, the third opponent, Chicago, my scouting report on Chicago is this. This will help you out, Nick. They suck. They're not very good. They're the one team I've seen in the last few years that traded up to draft a franchise quarterback, then chose to tear the team down the following year. Not the same year, not the year before. They draft Justin Fields and then start shipping everybody out. They're a mess.
Yeah, they're a mess. The fun thing about that is, okay, let's see Davis Mills stacked up against one of these first round
picks.
Yes. And then we get to act really disgruntled and PO'd because the next week there'll inevitably be still another article where somehow they talk about the 2020 draft picks or 21 draft picks at quarterback, and they don't even include Davis Mills in the conversation.
They did it again yesterday on Pro Football Focus. They're like, which of these young quarterbacks is going to break out this year? And they had freaking Daniel Jones on there. Like, he's 3 years in, break out.
Young. Yeah. That's old by today's standards. It's weird. Yeah, quarterbacks, yeah. If you're 38, you're young by today's standards.
Yes.
But if you're 26, you're old by today's standards.
That's right. it's funny. It is a weird dynamic.
ASMR is what it's called, Sean. I'm going to open up a whole new world to you of Russell Wilson whispering things.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate the break that.
Here. Just wait. Get ready to tingle, Sean.
Very excited. Very excited. All right. NFL teams have had their rookies in their mini camps within the last week or so. Things went fine with the Texans. Things didn't go so well for a high draft pick with a team inside the division. How does this have us feeling about a team the Texans are chasing this year? That's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Right, we'll get into the rookie that had a tough time adapting to rookie minicamp, but Seth did some recon on the Jim Irsay video during the break. Seth, what did you find out here?
So Jim Irsay, who we played in the previous segment, was singing, apparently, I said a Bob Dylan song, apologies, apparently it's... Back then, he was singing a Bob Dylan song.
It's a song, Bob. I'm looking. It says, "A Hard Rain's Gonna Fall," a song by Bob Dylan. So,
right. But it's somebody, he's singing a different version of it by whatever. Somebody else, whatever. Yeah. So, anyway, so people thought that he was singing while sitting on the toilet. And then a bunch of people said, "Oh, I thought he was on the toilet." It turns out he's not. He's sitting on a private jet toilet, as far as I can tell. And as far as I can tell, his pants are like half down. I think he's sitting on the crapper. The private jet, see, the toilets on private jets are more elegant than they need to be. Frankly, yeah. It's kind of weird. I don't like it. It feels like, okay, there's no way that there isn't some way. Like, this leather is going to get messed up at some point.
Yeah.
See, it's got the handle right next to him, like, yeah. for to brace yourself against when a hard rain's about to fall.
Right.
And he's sitting on the toilet singing a Bob Dylan song. I almost said drunkenly. We don't know for sure that he's drunk, but I don't know why he's doing this at 8 in the morning.
Do you think that he's singing that song and he's basically narrating him sitting on the toilet when he's when he's singing
Hard Rain's Gonna Fall?
Like that's what he's calling it?
Hard Deuce is gonna fall.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm looking at the lyrics right here.
Where have you gone, my T-bone
I've stepped
steak.
In the middle of 7 sad forests. I've been out in front of a dozen dead oceans.
That's all a metaphor.
10,000 miles in the mouth of a graveyard. In the mouth of a graveyard.
Yeah.
It's a hard rain's gonna fall.
That's all a metaphor for being constipated.
It's a metaphor for everything that's about to hit the toilet water right beneath his butt.
Yeah. I still, like, I despise Jim Irsay. A lot of people say, like, why would you despise him? Yeah. He seems like just like a fun old guy.
He does.
I despise him because he's this. This is what you need to know about Jim Irsay. He's a little rich boy who understands real people so little that he thinks that signing $100 bills and handing them out to them is the height of humanity at football games. If Jim Irsay ever tries to sign a $100 bill and give it to you and you're an adult, you crumple that thing up and throw it in his face. That is like the insult of all insults, and you don't even realize it because you got like, oh, Mr. Inherited His Billions is going to give this peasant $100. Jim Irsay can go screw himself and his drunken singing on airplanes.
I've never sat on a toilet in a private plane like this one. If this is indeed his private plane, it's got the features of a seat, like a chair, though. It's got, like, armrests on it.
Right, right, yeah.
Okay, that's
very
normal.
Very elegant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's one of my least... It's what's kept me from buying a private jet, Sean. I keep telling the private jet makers, listen, buddy.
Enough.
Just give me a normal toilet,
right,
okay?
Right, right, right.
Give me some porcelain and some stainless steel, and I'm good with it. Yep. I don't need anything else fancier than this. Give me something that's easy to clean up when I've been out partying Jim Irsay style.
Yeah, that does seem a little that it's got the features of a chair, and yet there's people... Yeah. You know, depositing waste and whatnot. And that does seem, that is disturbing. Okay. All right. 713-572-4610. Treylon Burks is the rookie I was referring to. As we move from one AFC South team we hope is a disaster, the Colts, to another. One that I think actually has more disaster potential than the Colts. I don't think the Titans are making the playoffs this year. I think they are going from one seed in the AFC to out of the postseason for a variety of reasons, not the least of which is their quarterback is a basket case right now, Ryan Tannehill. They also traded their number one wide receiver, A.J. Brown, for the 18th overall pick in the draft, which they used on Arkansas wide receiver Treylon Burks. Treylon Burks was at rookie minicamp this past week for the Tennessee Titans and didn't make it through his first practice because of conditioning issues. That's not good. This is the guy they drafted to replace A.J. Brown. Here was Titans head coach Mike Vrabel on Burks' struggles at rookie minicamp.
I think it's hard to think that they can recreate, with a trainer, how we do things. And we see that with guys that have come back and started with our off-season program and guys that have joined a few weeks in. It's just different. And I know that they're working and they think that they are trying to get in shape, but that's just not the case. And so that's something that we have to focus on and try to make sure that we're getting some work in. But with all of them, we're trying to be as smart as we possibly can.
Okay.
Yeah, so, it's a pretty good sign, Sean. It's a pretty good sign that Treylon Burks is going to be a bust. Just like, remember, it was obvious that Jamar Chase was going to be a bust last year.
Well, I wanted to ask you about that. Now, Jamar Chase, because I'm glad you brought that up, because that was the first thing that popped into my head. Even before I saw what the issue was with Treylon Burks, the first thing that popped into my head was all the hot takes that, and I was probably among them, about Jamar Chase last year when he dropped like the first 5 passes thrown to him at rookie mini camp or during training camp or whatever, and he only went on to have the best season of any rookie in the history of the NFL. Is it different that a guy shows up not in mini camp shape as opposed to a guy just who, by the way, I'll point out, Jamar Chase hadn't played football for a year. He sat out a year because of COVID. Is it different that a guy is having concentration issues catching the football than it is a guy showing up out of shape for rookie minicamp?
It's different, but it's also similar in that you don't want to read too much into it just because there was one shot of him using an inhaler too. So, it's not like they just hand you an inhaler if you don't have any kind of previous issues or anything. It's not like the trainer's like, hey, maybe you got asthma. Try this. So I think.
Okay, he's an NFL doctor. I guess so.
Yeah. So guys do show up out of shape, like shockingly so sometimes. And that's when this is it's some of the stress of drafting a guy out of college is that in the NFL, you're not going to have as much supervision, especially in the off season. And it's on guys to keep themselves in shape. And then going into, cause you'll have all these OTAs and everything. And then you get into July and they just tell everybody like, all right, see you in a month. We're going to do 2 or 3 months of intensive training here. But now you've got a month off right before training camp.
Oh man.
It's kind of nerve wracking to just send guys that don't have that same, they've been in programs their whole lives,
yeah,
where other people are telling them when to run and everything. And some guys have a hard time adjusting to the self motivation and self discipline part of it. So it's not damning, but it's concerning if a guy shows up and isn't in shape for like a rookie minicamp, which is like the easiest possible thing you could have to do. There's no actual competition there.
I love asking you this. Would Tom Coughlin's tone have been the same as Mike Vrabel's tone about Treylon Burks showing up out of shape?
Not in minicamp shape. It would today because he knows he would have gotten fined if it would have looked like too much like a, I don't know, like are these rookie minicamps technically voluntary? It seems like everything's technically voluntary these days. They're very careful about anything with that when it comes to, you know, making it look like you're coercing people into doing something that they're not contractually obligated to do. I felt like Vrabel was simultaneously disgusted probably by Treylon Burks, but then also by the inevitable overreaction by the media. So I think Vrabel being disgruntled about both responses kind of ended up putting him right in the middle.
Yeah.
So Coughlin probably would have been more on the side of just extreme criticism or just smirking at how bad it was for Treylon Burks. Dom Capers, Gary Kubiak, they would have been way more diplomatic about it.
Mm-hmm.
Capers was always like, Capers would never criticize players publicly. I feel like Kubiak did it, but kind of like with plain talk. He very rarely criticized them, but if he did, he didn't do it in a way that sounded like disgusted the way Coughlin might have.
I've heard that Kubiak was front-facing towards the media, he would be remiss to criticize players. He'd always take it on himself. Yeah. But he was very different behind the scenes, especially with offensive players when pointing out mistakes and things like that. Like, yeah, Kubiak could be really tough on guys.
Yeah, but it wasn't like he was a monster or anything. Like, the biggest dividing line is always like, okay, is a guy just coaching aggressively and coaching mistakes? Is like, is he coaching the problem or is he attacking the person?
Yeah, is he being fair?
Yeah, so like he was never somebody that felt like you were attacking the person.
Yeah.
Like some of my favorite coaches ever, like Frank Gantz Sr. was one of my favorite coaches ever and also one of the biggest hard asses ever. But he always pointed out like we're attacking problems. I'm attacking the problem. I'm not attacking the person. I'm attacking the problem. Then he would viciously attack the problem to the point where it felt like he was attacking the person. but I think that the Kubiak is an attack the problem kind of guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then that way, that's a better way to get buy-in from the player too. Like if a player understands like, oh yeah, we have a common problem here. It happens to be my bad play,
mm-hmm.
but it's that's the common problem we have.
We got a lot of headlines we got to get to. Let's get to the headlines here.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines brought to you by BaywayJeep.com.
Oh, by the way, Seth, thank you for the picture that you just texted to me of a luxury aircraft toilet. Thank you for that. That's very helpful. The picture that you sent to me just now.
Yeah.
Seth, yeah. Thank you. Appreciate that.
The toilet picture.
Yep. Yeah. Appreciate that. That's a Jim Irsay thing, for those who are just tuning in late. Astros, last night, Jake Odorizzi, the story in that one. First of all, the Astros lose the game 6-3 to the Boston Red Sox, so they are out slow in this three-game set against Boston. They'll play again tonight, but the story of that game, Jake Odorizzi, Astros starting pitcher, who had just seemed to start finding his groove over the last few weeks and was pitching pretty decently last night. On the final play of the fifth inning, the ground ball to Yuli Gurriel at first base, a slow roller to Yuli Gurriel. Jake Odorizzi took a couple steps towards first base to go cover the bag, and he fell down in a heap. He had to leave the game on a stretcher, an apparent left leg injury. We'll know more today. There will be an MRI. But it looks like what was going to be a six-man rotation, Seth, is probably going to go back to a five-man rotation here once they get Justin Verlander his extra day of rest here that they're about to give him because he had such a heavy workload over the weekend. I would imagine this for sure, I would think, means Christian Javier is a starter for the foreseeable future.
If they want to remain with the six-man rotation, which after Verlander threw the hardest he's thrown all year, pitched the most innings he's pitched, and did all of that after trying out just a normal rest period, they didn't sound alarmed or panicked by it or anything. There was a little part of me that was like, okay, well, it's not an awesome sign that you decided that, oh yeah, he definitely needs the extra rest. But he is a pushing 40 guy coming off of Tommy John surgery. I don't know if Javier had one bad outing.
Yeah,
he was really, really good for six outings, two starts, and then he had one bad outing, and now it seems like I feel, at least on social media, like a lot of Astros fans feel like that no there's no possible way he can replace Odorizzi, even though a month ago we were crying for Odorizzi to get pushed out of the airplane on a return flight home. Would you prefer Javier come down and start? That's choice A.
Yeah.
B is you go to a five-man rotation if Verlander can handle it. Or C, you bring up Seth Martinez.
Okay, well, hold on. It's going to be, look, if Odorizzi's out, your first choice and your second choice are the same. They're the same thing.
No, they're not.
Yeah, you're down to, if Odorizzi's out, you're down to five starters.
And then you bring Javier in as a starter and you got six.
No, Javier is one of those five.
Yeah,
you got Verlander, Urquidy, Garcia, Fromber, and Javier. That's your five. So that's the Seth Martinez.
Did I have another stroke this morning?
No. That's the five-man rotation. Odorizzi gets you down to five. The question, I guess, would be, do you stay at five with Javier or do you add Seth Martinez into the mix? I would get Verlander the amount of rest he needs right now, whatever you need to do to get him recovered from the 100 pitches he just threw, and then roll with five. Unless Seth Martinez comes in and throws a two-hitter or something like that, then by all means, keep going. But
yeah,
I would roll with the five, what I would do.
I say you just push Lance out there before he's ready.
Yeah, no one could possibly go wrong.
You're pitching off a third of a mound right now.
Yeah.
Let's just go ahead and look. We just saw Darren Revelle make it from basically almost at the rubber.
Did you see?
Oh, there was a really bad first pitch last night.
Yes, there was. DJ Steve Aoki threw one about 8 feet over the catcher's head. Did you see Revelle retweeting that this morning?
No. What did he say?
Darren Revelle, for those who don't know, we touched on this yesterday. Revelle threw out the first pitch at a Mets game over the weekend, Mets and Mariners. Darren Revelle threw out the first pitch, did fine. You know, stood at the front of the mound, didn't one hop it up there, threw it in the air to the catcher. So it was fine. Here was Revelle giving advice to people on throwing a first pitch. You ready? Three pieces of advice from Darren Revelle on how to throw a first pitch. One, don't get on the mound. Nobody will be impressed.
Okay,
that's number one. Number two, don't try to throw a fastball. Nobody will be impressed. Number three, last-minute practice won't help. It's a different ball game when it's time. So, in other words, you could stand in your driveway and throw back and forth for 55 feet with your kid for 3 days. When you get out on the mound, you're going to start peeing down your leg.
Yeah, I wonder about that, though. If you practice beforehand, it's got to help a little if you're just a little looser.
I think that's just different for different people. Like the first two bits of advice, I think, are valid pieces of advice if you're not a baseball player. Like, yeah, don't throw from the mound and don't try to hump it up on 92 on the gun. Like, just get it to the catcher. The third one, I think different people react to different situations differently.
You know what's funny is Steve Aoki is the guy that sailed that ball and the really, really bad pitch. I'm guessing that people aren't going to stop regarding him as I guess he's like the best or most successful DJ out there right now. We live in this world now where everything's so segmented that there are like people who are incredibly famous that I've never heard of before. And I don't think it used to be that way like 20 years ago or something.
Yeah.
Hey, this comedian Theo Von, too, I just discovered him, and apparently he's – no, you don't have to worry about that. Look, like that's my whole point. I had no idea who he was. But, like, to huge swaths of Americans, they love this guy.
Yeah.
I feel dumber and dumber every single day.
It's
Steve Aoki and Theo Von's fault.
Yeah, YouTube and TikTok are a corner of the universe where a lot of famous people are being made these days. I need to go into that terrain, I guess. So, Jake Odorizzi hurt. Astros back at it tonight. Next headline. Did you see, Seth, that Antonio Brown wants to retire a Pittsburgh Steeler?
He tweeted
it yesterday, kind of out of nowhere, and all it said, this is Antonio Brown, former Pittsburgh Steeler, former Oakland Raider, former New England Patriot, now former Tampa Bay Buccaneer, most recently seen running off the field shirtless at the end of a Tampa Bay game, quitting on the team, tweeted yesterday at 11 a.m., just want to retire a Steeler. That was it. He just wants to retire a Steeler. To which my first reaction was, they probably remember how you left things, Antonio Brown, when you didn't exactly leave Pittsburgh on great terms.
Yeah.
You forced your way out of there.
At some point he's going to go, well, he's kind of been in Charlie Sheen land for a while, but then I was thinking about this the other day, like, and then Charlie Sheen just kind of disappeared and we haven't heard from him at all. And yet he's not dead or anything. Is that going to be Antonio Brown? I guess I'm guessing Charlie Sheen still does some wacky stuff on social media, but everybody just kind of tuned him out once he almost started feeling kind of weird and bad about it. That's what Antonio Brown's going to get to the point where people feel, even if they don't feel sympathy for him, they feel like it's not quite right to keep, you know, to keep calling attention to these antics. And this might be the spot. I think this is going to end up being, if he doesn't get signed, once he's done with football, and this is what I worry about with him too, I think he feels like he's going to always have this huge social media income generator or something. I think that's going to all dry up and shrivel up once he's no longer relevant as a football
player.
Yeah,
This is the ultimate litmus test, Seth, because you are the one, I've been the one on this show who multiple times now has been proven wrong. Like, no, there's no way Antonio Brown gets another chance to play in the NFL. Twice I've said that, and twice I've been wrong. Is Antonio Brown going to play in the NFL again, or is he done?
He will play in the NFL again.
Okay. I mean, why would you buck the trend now? You ride that horse till she bucks you.
This might end up being, I think he gets signed by a team that's in playoff contention, or even he ends up being like a playoff signing. As a team enters the playoffs in 2022 season, calendar year 2023, he does always keep himself in shape. As weird and wacky as he is, I think he works out pretty hard, and he's got a reputation as a very hard worker. But he keeps himself in shape, so I think that somebody at some point will cross that line and say, okay, yeah, this is the guy for us.
What would be your advice to Antonio Brown if he's trying to get back in the league?
I wouldn't give him any advice.
No?
I left that game a long time ago, trying to give advice to people that, like, clearly are just going to do things their own way.
Okay.
There's not. I mean, the best thing you can do is if you have to have contact, if you've gotten Antonio Brown in your life, the best you can do is kind of try to manipulate them the best you can through use of their own either irrational thought patterns or what have you, but you can't really get through to them unless you're somebody super close to them. So I don't know what advice I'd give to him. What about it? Yeah, let's. Okay, how am I giving him advice as a guy that's just trying to help him get back into the league?
Back into the league. Yeah. Just get him. Your goal is to get him signed.
Okay, this is what I would do. Like if I were his agent.
Yep.
I would try to give him something to fixate on. And somehow convince him, and honestly, it might be something like Zen Buddhism or something. Something to try to get him to fixate, because he's a guy who fixates on things, but get him to fixate on something outside of his own head, but also something that makes him feel like kind of like an original. So I would go more towards the Eastern philosophy stuff, which might also actually genuinely benefit him. But you got to present it in such a way that it's like his way of being a renegade. And there you have it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but I also do think, okay, yeah, Zen Buddhism might be the thing, because you can present that as like a non-spiritual thing, more of like a philosophical thing, because he's Christian and he's pretty vocal about that side of it too.
Yeah.
So you don't want to try to take him away from that, but you say like, hey, this is a way you can accentuate your Christianity by looking into Zen Buddhism. And then there you go.
Zen Buddhism is booming, man. It's booming.
Yes, exactly.
Next headline: Sean Payton. We know that Sean Payton's former quarterback, Drew Brees, is, it looks like, now looking for another broadcasting gig. He's done with NBC. Sean Payton has found a home. He's going to Fox, not as a game analyst, Seth. He is going to Fox as a part-time member of their studio panel. Apparently, Jimmy Johnson has certain weeks off. You got Michael Strahan, you've got Howie Long, Terry Bradshaw, Kurt Menefee's the host. And Jimmy Johnson, on weeks where there is no Jimmy Johnson, it will be Sean Payton on the Fox Studio show. So that is where he will land, and then we'll see. If I'm a Saints fan, I think Saints fans are probably hoping that Sean Payton wants to get back into coaching and they can flip him for some draft capital. I think that's what Saints fans are hoping for at this point. So
he'll be taking Jimmy Johnson. That pregame show, by the way, is by far the cushiest for Hall of Fame-type dudes. That, I mean, if you think about like what they actually say on those shows, it's almost nothing at all.
Yeah.
To the point where I wonder if Sean Payton will get frustrated with that. It's pretty clear Cowher gets up there and like somebody's giving him a few cards or something. I don't know how much he's paid attention to the league at all. Jimmy Johnson, I think, knows. Jimmy Johnson pays attention, but just kind of gives some good opinions, but it's very surface level stuff. I'm surprised that's what Sean Payton is taking. I thought he would want something a little bit more in depth.
This tells me that he is likely getting back into coaching at some point.
He took something that would be his little
dip the toe in the water.
Intensive.
Yeah,
he can step away from it if something comes.
He's
up.
He's doing it however many weeks out of the season. He's not grinding 7 days a week, getting ready for the studio show, or getting ready for. Even more so grinding on getting ready for a game, part of production meetings and things like that.
Yeah.
He's a souped up special guest is what he is.
It feels like I don't think he's going to get the full actual media experience. If he wants to learn what it's like to actually be working in media, this is kind of like, hey, hold somebody's hand and then you can figure out if what you're into is hardcore S&M. They're just completely, like, you can't tell one from the other. This is holding hands, whereas like actually doing doing color commentary within a game or something is asking a dominatrix to come ruin your life for a while.
I get it, but every relationship that turns into something that's a little more risque or hardcore starts with hand holding. You would like to think that it starts with hand holding, heavy petting, making out.
Yeah.
He's just making out with Fox is all he's doing. It could turn into something. It could turn into a romp in the hay for a few years doing game analysis.
I understand what you're saying, but we're dealing on a compressed time frame here. This is like, okay, look, this is my last night in Vegas. My flight leaves in 90 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have time for hand-holding, okay?
Okay.
Because if Peyton's going to make a decision on whether he likes the media life or not, he's not really going to get a taste of it.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem like a kind of guy that's going to be cool just stepping in and saying like, oh, I don't actually have to say anything or actually analyze anything or anything. I just have to basically sit here and be Sean Payton. He doesn't strike me as that guy.
3 years from now, is he a head coach or is he a color analyst on a major network?
I think he's a head coach.
Yeah, I do too.
I think he's like Gruden, but without like the – now Gruden spent a lot longer as an actual commentator, but ultimately he just – had to get back into it.
Yeah.
I think that Payton, I don't think Payton strikes me as having quite the same ego as Gruden.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's going to necessarily, I don't think he would enjoy being the star the way Gruden seemed to thrive on it.
I would agree with that. Yeah. You're listening to KLT and KLT HD2 and Odyssey Station. Man, you bringing up Gruden. How much money did Gruden cost himself with those emails? And I'm not even talking about the fact that his guarantee with the Raiders probably got voided. You know, he was guaranteed $100 million over 10 years. the way the money is going for color analysts right now, like if Gruden had just gotten fired by the Raiders because he sucked as a coach, he would have stepped right back into one of these. He probably would have had the Amazon job that went to Herb Street. Like that
That's
kind of
a very
thing.
Good point. Yeah. Right? Like he definitely would have had one of those points, and he would have been like a more highly sought after one. He probably, you know what, Sean, right this moment, we would probably be talking about rumors that we would have been talking about this a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. Rumors that John Gruden is being lured away by like a $30 million a year deal or something like that.
Yeah.
Or at least a paltry $20 million a year deal or something.
Yeah. He's toxic now. He would have been better off getting pinched for a DWI or you know, any other number of things than what he got pinched for.
Somebody points out that I had briefly after saying that I was done giving advice, I then doled out advice.
That's okay.
To Antonio Smith.
Just answering a question.
It's all hypothetical.
Texter. Yeah.
I would in real life, I would probably, if somebody called me up and were like, hey, can you talk to my guy, Antonio? My point is, I'd probably be like, nah. Sorry, man. I don't want that. I'm gonna spend time thinking about it. Ultimately, he's not gonna take my advice. I'm gonna feel like I let you down because I couldn't help him out, and that's not what I'm doing anymore.
Hey, Texter, it's better for radio if when I ask Seth the question, what advice would you give, that he actually doles out a little bit of advice to Antonio Brown.
None at all. Somebody else said, take your meds. That would probably be the best advice.
I think so, too.
Which is sometimes with somebody that's in that state, you got to try to figure out the best way to get them to do the most impactful thing, and convince them that, like, no, it's you're not giving in to those who are against you just by taking your meds. You're actually probably going to wage war against them better. And then you give them a big pep talk about how they'll be able to, these people that are trying to get you to take your meds, once you take your meds, you'll be able to take them down hardcore. And you say whatever you want, because once they take their meds, the problem goes away. Like, they're not so convinced that the people who are trying to give them the meds are out to get them. You got to walk a fine line
there. There you go.
And hope that none of it's recorded.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.